Are you growing the way you should? Listen, if you're not thriving as a Christian, something is wrong. And God is not pleased when his people are not thriving.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, as we listen to the second part of Pastor Brian Grant's message begun last week and entitled, How to Grow in Tough Times, remember that these first century saints were experiencing severe persecution from both the Romans and their fellow Jews, and had at least some of them wavering in their faith and thinking of returning to Judaism. Thus, in a series of specific exhortations, the writer challenges his hearers to grow strong in faith and become spiritually mature, even when times are tough. In the first part of this message, Pastor Grant explained how one of the problems identified by the Hebrews writer was that these Christians had become dulled to the Word of God. We heard how this spiritual dullness may have had something to do with the insecurity they were experiencing in these troubled times, causing them to regress rather than grow in their faith. And we'll pick it up there this evening as Pastor Grant continues to explain the symptoms of spiritual dullness. Here again is Pastor Grant finishing his message, How to Grow in Tough Times.
My brother and sister, you don't have to go through your drama with your head hanging low as if there is no hope, that there is no God. We have a God. We have a high priest. And the writer says this is the center of the entire book of Hebrews. It's all about the fact that we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of power. What else does it say about this high priest? Listen, Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. My voice seems to be going. I hope I'm not making too much noise, but I'm so thankful. This high priest is not just your high priest. He's my high priest. Amen. He's my high priest as well. And I tell you, we can turn to him because this high priest, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And here's what it says about him in verse 15 of chapter 4. Mark these verses down. These are key verses. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. Hallelujah. We have a high priest who is seated. He is seated at the right hand of power, and he's concerned about your drama. He empathizes with your issues. Don't pretend like, oh, God wouldn't be interested in this. He empathizes, he sympathizes with what you're going through right now. God wants to know. Of course, he knows about it, but he wants you to come talk to him about it. Check him out, talk to him. God, you know. Oh, you're embarrassed about it. Oh, you're so embarrassed. It's okay to be embarrassed and don't tell us about it. But tell him about it. Tell him about it. We have a high priest who sympathizes with, but listen, he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This high priest is saying, what is he saying? Come on boldly. How are we going to grow in this time, in difficult times? If we're going to grow in difficult times, one of the key things we're going to have to realize, we must take advantage of the fact that we have a high priest who is seated at the right hand of power, a high priest who sympathizes with our situation, and a high priest who says, come on in. I guarantee you, if you try to get into visit any of these presidents, you can't come on in. You can write, you can go to this one and get a connection to that one. And here the person who is at the center of the power of the universe says, come on in. Oh, somebody ought to say praise the Lord this morning. He says, come on in. Come on in. Have you been going in? One of the reasons why there is not much growth, you know, part of the challenge why there is not much growth is because we are not coming on in. We're not taking advantage of the resource we have in heaven. But I better move on, or we will never get finished. First thing, the symptoms of spiritual dullness. Number two, the seriousness of spiritual dullness. Hebrews chapter 5. I hope you all realize it's not easy being a preacher, because sometimes there's so much that needs to be said, and we still have to do it within the span of how long your seat can endure. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. I can remember our first baby. His birth was so exciting. You know, we had gone to the classes, you know, to teach you how to breathe and all that sort of stuff. And so it was time, we had had a few false alarms, but now it was time, the real day was here. It was time for the baby to be delivered. I'll never forget when the labor pain hit my beloved, and she was in deep pain. And I said to her, I tried to show her, breathe, 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 breathe. She said, you are the one who has done this to me. You did this. I just forgot about all the breathing business, all right? But hallelujah, Nicholas finally came. But you know, once Nicholas came, it's one thing to have a baby, but when the baby comes, we want the baby to grow and to thrive, don't we? And you know, there are certain norms as to how the baby should be growing and thriving. And if when Nicholas was 5 years old, he was still weighing only 18 pounds, you know, the doctors would be concerned that he was showing symptoms of failure to thrive syndrome. You know, one of the big symptoms of spiritual dullness is, put this down, failure to thrive syndrome. The text tells us you ought to be further along. My brother and sister, are you thriving? Or are you suffering from spiritual failure to thrive syndrome? If we're not careful, you know, sometimes churches are filled with people who are not thriving, and so I can feel good because I'm sitting with friends who are not thriving. We're all non-thrivers. Are you thriving? Are you growing the way you should? Listen, if you're not thriving as a Christian, something is wrong. And God is not pleased when his people are not thriving. The Tony Evans commentary, put this in your notes. The Tony Evans commentary points out that God usually uses a three-step process to bring us to our purpose. He says this three-step process: deliverance, development, and destiny. Don't miss this. If we skip the development aspect, we will never get to our purpose and our destiny. If you're not thriving, you're going to be a big loser. I met a lot of Christians over the years, and some of them, they don't care about thriving. They don't care about spiritual development, because as far as they're concerned, they're doing okay. My brother and my sister, I want you to realize that if you do not thrive, if you do not grow, if you miss God's development plan, you're going to miss your purpose and your destiny. So go ahead and make all the money in the world. Go ahead and be successful in your career. By the way, you know, God can change everything overnight. This year, I think all of us by now have realized how life can change overnight. What a year. COVID. Record-breaking fires, record-breaking floods, 4 hurricanes in Louisiana in the 1 year. It's on and on. It's non-stop. Listen, it just shows us that we're not in charge. But listen, I want you to know that the one who is in charge has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a plan and he has a purpose for your life, but you're going to get to destiny through development. You cannot just from development and get to destiny. Everybody wants destiny, but nobody wants development. You got to go through development if you're going to get to destiny. Amen. So may God help us that we will make a commitment today that we'll say to God, God, I have not grown, or I am not grown in line with how long I've been saved. And today I want to change. Let me rush quickly to really where we need to get to. The solution for spiritual dullness, the symptoms of spiritual dullness, the seriousness of spiritual dullness, and finally, the solution for spiritual dullness. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. The Greek word exercised in the New King James Version is translated trained in the NIV, and I want you to just point this out. It's the same word from which we get the word gymnasium. In the Greek, it's the word from which we get gymnasium. In these tough times, this is no time for mamby-pamby Christians. This is no time. These tough times, God is looking for some Christians with spiritual muscle. And he wants all of us to enroll in his spiritual development program. No matter how long you have been on the journey. Some of you say, oh, I've been a Christian too long. I think I know a lot. Are you really where God wants you to be? Let me share three aspects just before I sit down. Let me share with you quickly three aspects of his spiritual development program that we find right here in the text. Number one, put this down. The first and the critical aspect of God's spiritual development program, proper nutrition from God's word. Let me say proper nutrition from God's word. Here's verse 13. Verse 13 says, everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, but solid food belongs to those who are of full age. You know what happened? Milk is good. When we were growing up in Jamaica, you know, the milkman would deliver a couple bottles of milk every morning. Oh, it was good milk too. It was coming straight from the cow. Oh, it even had the, some of you know what I'm talking about. It even had the cream on the top. That was real milk, not this stuff you go into the supermarket to get. Oh, Marlon, I wish you could get some real milk. Oh, that was wonderful stuff. But as great as it tasted, even the taste was different. How many of you ever had that the real milk? You see how tall it made me? Oh, no. Actually, that certainly wouldn't have worked. But, you know, it might have been tasty, but it might have been nutritious. But the experts tell me that if I had an all-milk diet, in 6 months I would have developed serious medical problems.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
And a Christian who has an all-milk diet is in trouble. Some people like, I'm glad you're reading the devotional, but if that's all the word you get, you're in trouble. Some Christians don't even like to go to a church that the preacher is going to go on for too long. I was sitting with a pastor, and he was trying to recruit all the folks at the table to his church, and he promised them this. He said, I promise you, I will never ever preach a message for more than 19 minutes, so you can come to my church. I will never preach for more than 19 minutes. Well, you know, 19 minutes, sometimes I'm just getting warmed up. Can you imagine that, 19 minutes? How much meat can you really deliver if you're making a commitment never ever to go over 90 minutes? Sometimes you're only giving 5 or 6 or 8 minutes.
And you better believe he gives more as much stories as I give. So if he's going to give all them stories and only give 19 minutes, anyhow, let me leave him alone. Milk is good, but a Christian who feeds only on milk will never mature. If we're serious about growing, we'll have to put in effort. You see, this is where the word gymnasium is used, you know. We'll have to go into the gymnasium, and the gymnasium, God's gymnasium, requires effort, young person. It requires effort, and it means I'm going to put in effort, and I'm going to diligently spend time in God's word. Somebody ought to say amen. You know, sometimes I know my good friends, you know, they never miss a time to be jogging on the road or spend their hour every day or every 3 or 4 days in the gym, but they have a hard time spending 5 minutes in God's gymnasium. My brother and sister, it's time this morning. We need to commit to changing the dynamic. I know I'm one of those who need to be in the physical gym. I know that. But if you're going to have a choice of which gym to be in, my Bible tells me that bodily exercise profits. But then it has a word after it, little. God, bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable for all. In case you're not sure, the Bible says it. It says it very clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. My brother and sister, God is saying to us this morning, we need to make sure every person here, if you really want to grow, if you really want to make sure you're not spiritually dull, you need to make sure you're spending time in God's gym, in God's word. Amen? It's one thing to be in God's word. And let me just put in a little plug here. Because to supplement your personal study, GC is not having all these Bible studies to be feeding you. All of us need to be feeding on our own. But to supplement your personal study, we have all these Bible studies going on. I think right now we have 5 Bible studies in the middle of every week. And I'm excited. I think about 100 people are enrolled in these Bible studies. And we thank God for that. But listen, the question is, are you involved? Have you ever been involved? Well, you say, are you involved in anybody else's program? You don't have to use ours. But my brother and sister, you are not going to grow. You're not going to develop the way you should if you don't spend time in God's word. And I want to challenge every man particularly. This is the reality. You see who comes and gets the certificates every time we have Bible Institute. My brothers, if we are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in our homes, we had better get more seasoned in God's word. But second, not only proper nutrition from God's word, but constant application of God's word. Let me put up Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Let me put it on the screen in the NIV because I think it is clearer. Here's what it says. But solid food is for the mature who by what? Constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Constant use. You know, some Christians study God's word, but they don't apply it in their life. It's like mental gymnastics. They just want to know. Are you one of those Christians who just study God's word to know what it says? Or are you one of the Christians who study so you can apply it? You know, the book of James, it makes it very clear. James chapter 1 tells us that the person who studies God's word and doesn't apply it is like the person who gets up in the morning, he or she looks in the mirror, and they see all that stuff under their eye and around their mouth, and they come out. Who's going to do that? And God paints that awful, ugly picture to help us to realize how counterproductive it is for us to study God's word. And we know what God's word says, but we're not doing it. We're not putting it into practice. Listen, God is saying, listen, do you want to grow? Do you want to enroll in his spiritual development program? Number one, you make a commitment to studying his word, but you also make a commitment to obeying, putting it into practice, constantly using his word. Might I tell you that sometime you're not going to like using it, because did you know that God's word is going to make you do some things you don't want to do? Am I right about that? But we got to do what God's word says, whether we like it or not. Constant application. And third, gradual development of spiritual discernment. We'll put that verse up again. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Here's how it says, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use of what? Have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Did you notice that? This person, because they have constantly applied God's word, they have gradually developed spiritual discernment. They are now able to discern right from wrong, good from evil, because of constant use. They don't have to make an effort for the discernment. The spiritual discernment comes because they have been applying God's word. Oh, it's not going to happen overnight. That's partly why I don't like physical gyms. Just before we got married, I went to my first gym to try and make sure I had some muscle for the wedding. And I exercised at every machine they had, and I fainted. But thank God, she was a woman of faith, and she married me anyhow. That's a true story, by the way. But you ain't going to develop muscle overnight. You're not going to develop spiritual discernment overnight. But man, I tell you, spiritual development is taking place as you're studying God's word, as you're applying God's word. You are growing. You are growing. You are developing. You're developing discernment. And one of these days, by God's grace, you're going to achieve the purpose why God put you here. And I want to challenge you, my friend, this morning as I bring this message to a close. Perhaps this morning as you sit and you think, you realize you may not be as dull as somebody else. But in light of how long you are saved, you're not where you ought to be. And so this morning God comes and he's knocking again at your door. And I'm going to ask you in a moment, I'm going to ask you to commit, make a recommitment. Say, God, I heard you and I should be further along. And this morning I'm recommitting. Number one, I'm recommitting to taking advantage of the resources. In my case, I've had some struggles and I haven't really taken advantage of the throne of grace. But then God, I'm going to commit to you studying your word and applying your word so that I can grow. Perhaps you're listening to me this morning. You know the reason why some church members have not grown? Some church members have not grown because they're not saved. I was actually surprised to read Dr. W.A. Criswell, who was the former pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas. He once said he'd be surprised to meet 25% of his members in heaven. Did you hear what I'm saying? He said he'd be surprised to meet 25% of his members in heaven. In other words, he believes that so many of his members are really not saved. They're just coming to church. Billy Graham once said he believes, listen to this, I was shocked when I read the statistic. Billy Graham once said that he believes 85% of church members have never been born. Are you sure you're born again? As I speak to those of you who are listening and watching, are you sure you're born again? A lot of people join churches, but they have never really experienced God's salvation. You see, you only experience God's salvation where you recognize you're a sinner and you repent from your sin, which means you're turning away from your sin and you're embracing the Lord Jesus Christ and you're thanking him for dying for your sin and you invite him to come into your heart. Salvation is an actual birth, and that birth only happens when you receive Jesus Christ into your life. You know, some of you may be like me, shared this story with somebody just recently. in my late 20s. I think I was, might have been about 30. I was driving right here in Philly. And for whatever reason, I became concerned. I said, was I really serious that day when 9 years old when I invited Jesus Christ into my heart? For whatever reason, it troubled me. I pulled the car into a parking lot and I said, God, if I wasn't serious then, I'm serious right now. I'm going to ask you, God, I know I'm a sinner and I'm willing to repent of my sin. I'm turning from my sin. And God, I'm serious right now. Would you come into my heart and save me? Some of you need to do that. There are people listening who need to do that because you have some doubts. This is not something you should have doubts about. You cannot grow unless you're really saved. And I'm going to ask you to make sure you're saved today. And then, by God's grace, let's plan to grow.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.